Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Well, wherever you are, there you are. Whether you are on a vacation or a retreat like I was recently, or at a store, at school, in church, wherever you are, there you are. But our distractions, daydreaming, or worries about the future can try to take us somewhere else. But no matter what we do or think, we can only be where we are in life. But, and this is an essential but, we are also right in the midst of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from the love of God. So right now, in this moment, God is here. God is wherever you are, whether you feel God or not. And not feeling God's presence is probably the majority of our human experience because of the constant bombardment of life. So what do we do when life is hard? What do you do when you are overwhelmed and don't know what your next step will be? I will suggest an option. I found it in a card at CVS Pharmacy. The cover is one gorgeous, lush strawberry. Cascading down the sides of this robust strawberry is decadent, warm chocolate. There is nothing else on the cover but this most amazing relationship of a strawberry and chocolate. But the inside message in this card might help you when life is hard. The message reads, "When all else fails, there is always chocolate." An immediate blessing. But the taste of strawberries and chocolate, gratifying as it is, does not have an eternal blessing. They cannot give us real wisdom, faith, or hope when life is hard. As helpful as a strawberry and chocolate might be for temporary relief or for the simple pleasure of the taste of them, Jesus did not say the kingdom of heaven is like strawberries and chocolate. But Jesus did give us 5 or 6 parables in today's gospel trying to describe how precious is the gift, presence, and power of the kingdom of God. And Paul, in today's passage from his letter to the Romans, gives us descriptions also. A taste, a tidbit, a morsel of the banquet of grace available in the kingdom of heaven. This particular passage from Romans has several verses that are often quoted as sources of comfort. In fact, in last week's passage from Romans, we hear that in the midst of suffering, groaning, and waiting, that the Spirit of God intercedes for us. And today we hear that when we do not know how to pray as we ought, the Spirit makes intercessions for us. Yet sometimes we know exactly what we want to ask God or want God to do. However, such prayers can easily degenerate into a to-do list for God. And at other times, we are so overwhelmed we can only pray, "God, help me," or "God, forgive me." Or we eat chocolate or have a drink. But the good news is the news that Jesus was trying to describe to us and his followers is that God is always present and willing to help. And what is more comforting than a box of chocolates is what Paul says next in this passage from Romans, that God who searches hearts knows what is on the Spirit's mind, because the Spirit makes intercessions according to the will of God. Now for me, a way to understand this wonderful mystery of intercession is to think of the Spirit like a coffee filter. We put our coffee grounds into the filter, and the hot water strains through the coffee grinds, leaving us coffee to drink. I like to think of the Spirit as the coffee filter. And I like to think that all of our intense prayers, our deep desires of our hearts, our prayers of thanksgiving, our petitions, all of it, everything we share with God is in the filter of God. No matter how clear and articulate or messy and needy is our prayers, all is in the coffee filter of God. And it is the Holy Spirit that flows through it all, adapting our prayers to fit the will of God. That is the blessing, because it allows us to pray freely without fear of making a mess or asking some way the wrong way. Another comforting line from the Romans is the verse, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." But to fully hear the power of this sentence, we need to pause at this point and do some grammar and Greek homework. In elementary school, we learned about subjects and verbs. If the subject is singular, the verb needs to be singular. If the subject is plural, the verb needs to be plural. So the following sentences would be incorrect because the subjects and verbs do not match. The strawberries is covered with chocolate, or the strawberry are covered with chocolate. Both of those sentences are incorrect. The verbs and subjects don't match. Now, in this verse from Romans, scholars agree on what the subject of Paul's sentence should be. So the question is, should the subject be all things or God? In the Greek, all things was written as a direct object, not as the subject, and in the plural. But the verb work together is in the singular. This digression is really important because it helps us get to a deeper truth. It could be argued, therefore, that if we allow the subject and verb to match, a more powerful message emerges, which would read, "God works all things together for good." That is our message of hope, that in all things, God is at work, and the Spirit is filtering our prayers according to the will of God. The other way all things work together for good is missing who is at work. We fail to make clear that it is God who has the power to bring good out of bad, who transforms Good Fridays into Easters. The present translation also makes insignificant circumstances that cause pain. People in pain do not need generalities like, "Don't sweat it, it's going to be okay." Life is hard. People in pain need to believe that God is present. So no matter what the Greek grammar, believe that God works all things together for good. God has the power to bring good out of bad, out of what is hard, a distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword. That was Paul's list. He tried to think of everything his people were facing. And each of us could make our own lists of all the stuff that is hard, overwhelming, unclear, depressing. But this list that was used by Paul to say that given all that you are dealing with, nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And believe that God does not act randomly. There is a divine purpose and presence throughout history, through your history. Our readings invite us to really trust that God is at work. Let go and let God be God. Not easy to do, to let go and trust that God knows. So we turn to the momentary distractions like a strawberry and chocolate. But the way forward takes faith in God, prayer in the Spirit, and action. So pray and believe that the Spirit is praying through you. Take action. Work in the kingdom of heaven, believing in what Jesus said. It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus taught that something very small like yeast can be powerful and bring about change. Life may be hard, but God is working through and with us. No matter how insignificant we might feel, or how insignificant we think our actions or prayers might be. And remember always, it is God who works together all things for good, better than the most beautiful strawberry and chocolate combination. Amen.